All right. Worldwide Life, online through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. My name is Gijs Minderhout. It is today Monday, April. No, May.
May.
8th. And May is here. The lady's voice is May from Concord. Good to call, May. As this, as usual, a simulcast for the conference call. And thank you for being here, May.
Thank you for being here. I thought I'd have to be not ready again. Is everything in your family okay?
Yes, fantastic. Wow. Really.
Thank you for playing Wind Song last, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before.
Okay.
I know you don't necessarily appreciate his voice, but I really love his words.
All right. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
So thank you. And I hope the earthquake doesn't hit near your area that they're expecting after the slow slip. There's an 80% chance that it's going to hit in the ocean, which is good, but then there's that 20% chance that it may hit inland.
I'm going to be so popular.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
John from Las Vegas.
Hi, John. Welcome. I'm sorry, May. I was sidetracked here for a moment.
Don't worry. I was just saying that, you know, Dutch is predicting that there's an 80% chance that after the slow slip, the earthquake, the 7.5 or 8 will hit out in the ocean. But then there's that 20% chance that it's going to hit inland near your area.
Okay. All right. I'll tell.
So he has an 80% chance of being right.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone on this call would actually even care about this other than myself, but
we care.
Maybe someone else would. I mean, that has student loans. This is actually good news and bad news. It's. Let me read this title to you on Zero Hedge. It says, "The crisis has become pandemic. System to collect defaulted student loans is no longer functioning."
What system do they use other than putting you in jail?
Well, no. They're not even collecting on student loan debt anymore.
Oh.
The U.S. government basically decided this. So it's this. It may sound like a good sign, but I don't know. I think it's a sign that the system's about to collapse.
Well, which system?
It's like a warning sign. This is a great big flat red flag, I think.
Well, what?
That's just like saying they're never going to collect on your taxes or something.
Well, yeah, I know, but this is for real. I mean,
No. What I'm saying is, what is their system for collecting? In other words, like, if you don't pay, do they attach your wages? Do they take
away
your...
Well, you'd have to read the whole article, but they're basically not collecting anymore.
That's good to a certain extent, but what is the reasoning behind it? That's the thing.
All right. Do you want me to start reading some of this right here? It says, on April 21st, the government ordered the debt collectors involved in the suit to stop work altogether on default accounts. No phone calls, no withdrawals from student accounts, nothing. The strange turn of events began with a lawsuit filed by two debt collection companies who claimed they were unfairly were fired by the Obama-era Education Department for poor performance. March 29th, the judge issued a temporary restraining order that prevented any new defaulted borrowers from being assigned to debt collectors and put into rehabilitation programs. Instead, the borrowers have been piled inside the department's system waiting. And it's looking like here, they're basically all in limbo now, so it's...
This Memorial Day.
So it's basically looking like the entire system is about to fall off the cliff.
I love it, man. That's good news for me.
Well, yes, no, not just. Do you have student loans?
Yes,
I have student loans. My wife just graduated. She has a massive.
I don't know. I kept trying to tell Wynn, you know, you got to be more positive, Wynn, because he doesn't even pay attention to our sources sometimes. You know, they said in the past that, you know, with Donald Trump, things are going to get better, you know, slowly get better gradually. And he's still th- thinking, you know, things are going to be, you know, like they were in 2002. Our sources said that it's basically going to be all over in 2017, which is this year. So we haven't been able to successfully revive, you know, to get it through Wynn's head that our sources, you know, he hasn't accepted, you know, our sources through what Terry said. So there's something, I don't know what's wrong with Wynn, but he hasn't accepted that. So he's still except in fact what, you know, what through Daphne's, you know, our sources said, you know, like 15 years ago, and I don't know. It's looking more and more like it's about to happen. Gold, silver is about.
Hold on, John. We had several people join in here. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Helen from Virginia.
Good evening to you, Helen, and welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Who else joined in?
Yes, hi. It's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Good evening, Jane. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Hi. It's Dave.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the call.
Dharmananda.
Dharmananda, welcome.
Thank you.
To me, this looks like the calm before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're right at the precipice of falling off a cliff like 10 miles down or 20 miles down.
Watch out, John. Your thoughts create your future.
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell Wynn, and he doesn't get it. We should think positive.
But then why did you say it?
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to get Wynn to be positive again because it's just, I don't know what the heck. It's too hard to really.
Because Wynn is not saying that we're going to do that.
Mindset seems to be stuck.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Deb in Oregon.
Hi, Deb. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Thank you.
Deb, will you take the mission? I need to leave here in just a moment. And then, you know, if Vin comes on here shortly, it will be a while before he starts the recording. You want to make sure that he starts the recording when he's opening the call? So, and if you're muted, just press star 6.
Okay, well, then I have to go sign on because I'm not on the computer.
Don't have to be on the computer. Just through your phone.
Okay.
Yeah?
All right.
We have somebody else joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Susan in Michigan.
Susan, welcome.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Hi.
The next person,
hi,
welcome.
Guys. It's Prudy in Michigan.
Hi, Prudy. Welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Hi. All right. More people joined in. Welcome to you all. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Arizona,
positive greetings to you.
Thank you.
And Chris in Memphis.
Good evening to you, Chris. Positive greetings to you as well.
Oh, you too, guys.
Hi, Michelle in Cambria.
Michelle, welcome.
Hi.
All right. More people joining in. Welcome. Please say name.
Hi, it's Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Hello, Jeannie. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
All right.
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Good evening to you, Wynn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
The next person, welcome to the call. Please say a name or location.
That's Roger in Austin.
Good evening to you, Roger. Welcome to the group.
Also, Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hey, everybody.
Welcome to the call, Don.
Thanks.
All right. The things are off. I know that Deb is here. Thank you for being here, Deb. And Wynn, I'm glad you're here. I believe that Terry is with us. Is Terry with us? No, I don't see her phone line.
Hopefully she's getting a drink of water with a supplement.
Hey, Wynn, Deb will tell you if you forget to start the recorder, I need to leave the call. Deb, just press star 6 in case
okay.
You need to. Goodbye.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is May 8th, 2017. Wynn in Sedona. Jerry, you're not here. I'm going to do first of all, I just want to let you guys know that this woman Kimberly is and I are having an amazing connection. You know, I spoke to her for about an hour today, Kimberly Meredith. And, you know, she has, you know, I've talked about her before, and Terry has some sessions with her. And she has this group on the other side that works with her, and she does these healings that are amazing. And she's got hundreds of people that are getting healed from all kinds of stuff, in particular cancer. And, you know, Terry had three sessions with her, and it's been the biggest shift in Terry of all the things we've done. And, you know, when I talk to her, we're building trust in each other because she's got a very high intent, and she's starting to get recognized, and anything could happen with her. She could end up with her own TV show, doing this on TV. But she's really keeping her integrity about it and keeping her service. And when I talk to her, she doesn't know about the Ra group. She knows the name Elohim is a name for God. She talks about God. She talks about the Holy Spirit. And she talks about it. You know, she doesn't have the context that we have developed of all these things and how they work. And I wasn't sure if she was going to be interested. I didn't want to interfere with her process. In other words, she is doing something that's working, and she doesn't need all the details that we have here to do what she's doing. And so I like her and I respect her, but we're starting to get into an affinity. And it's very interesting because she has this group on the other side that's working through her when she does these healings, and they're guiding her every move, okay? And they're looking at people, and they're able to kind of, like an MRI, look inside their body, and then she touches them, and the energy shifts on the higher dimensions. She says it's 5D. And so when the energy shifts on the higher dimensions, then it has to download into this dimension. So when I'm talking to her, I can say, well, Kimberly, ask your guys this and ask your guys that. And so, you know, it started out, I said, tell me, are any of your guys connected with the Ra group? And they answered yes. And are any of your guys connected with the Elohim group? And they answered yes. So today we're talking, and I said, ask your guys if the Ra group was connected to Jesus. And they answered yes. And then I said, was the Ra group a major influence with Jesus? And again, they answered yes. So that's kind of the beginnings of her connecting with my work, because both of us are completely correct, because everything is one. We're all one in the ultimate level, but we all have our own individual fractals and expressions as the one splits into creation. And keep tuned, because I'm almost sure she'll end up being a guest, and maybe even a regular guest on her show. And she is fun. She's like giggly, and you'll love her. And I don't know if we can do group healings with our guys. Maybe we'll experiment. Who knows what'll happen? But her healings really have weight, and just stay tuned. So, Jerry, are you on the line yet? Hello, Jerry. I was going to do another session of how the Oh, hi.
Hi.
You don't have to tell a blonde joke. It's okay. Where are you now? Where are you?
Sitting in the car in the driveway.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you doing that for?
Well, I just drove in.
I see. Okay. So, and what am I going to say here? I was going to do another session of how the Elohim created the universe. But Terry said she didn't feel her energy was up for that tonight. So I'm going to do a replay of one of those early sessions. And, you know, for me, I'm going to mute you, Terry. You're making all this noise. Hello. There we go. Hello. I'm still on. Okay. For me, these sessions were quite spectacular because these are mysteries of the higher realms that absolutely no one that I've ever run into is privy to. People will know the Elohim were part of creation. And, of course, they just usually say, let there be light. And the 7 days, there was the firmament, right? That's the religious point of view. And here we are talking to them in a fairly transparent manner. And they're giving the details of how the realm evolved. And this was one of the really early calls of that in this project. They're all interesting. And if you're intrigued by this call and you go to the Spirit Channel, under topics. Well, where is it? Under topics on the Spirit Channel, there is a... where is it? I just uploaded it. There is a... I'm sorry. Maybe it's here now. I just uploaded it, and it disappears. All right, I'm going to upload it again. And now I'm going to have to... I can't believe it disappeared. This was March 1st, 2010. Now it says a file with the same date already exists. So that means it's uploaded, and I'm not finding it in the upload. Hang on. There it is. So I might start it, fast forward it a few minutes so we don't miss the end of it. Usually, you know, there's a little bit of my repartee in the beginning of these things. But we're going to start, and here we go.
You think we're on the air? What do you think? Yes, are we on the air? Did I hear 54321? Terry, are you there?
We are live.
Yes, I'm here.
This is our official hello to everybody that's checking in. A shift in something. And what do you want to shift in your life? Why do people want to shift? Well, most of the time when people think about a shift, they think about their willpower. They say, well, okay, now I'm listening to the Elohim. I can decide to do this, and it'll happen. And actually, I guess that is kind of a shift. You can quit one job and get another. You can leave one girlfriend or boyfriend and get another. And you can leave one city and move to another. And have you shifted? Maybe a little bit. But probably in most cases, your body shifted, your circumstance shifted, but you found yourself repeating the same pattern. So if you want to stop repeating a pattern, you have to go above the part of you that creates that pattern. And I think that is the advantage of listening in on these calls, because there's an energy that comes in. There's also wisdom, and there's an energy that's above your patterns. And if you start to tap into the energy, the patterns start to shift. And suddenly, there's new possibilities that were not there before. Not because you changed something radically in your life, not because you moved or changed jobs. It's like you go to the same job and people are treating you differently. There's a lot of things in life that are kind of mysterious, and it's not simple. You know, I had an email from somebody that says, well, why don't you just ask them to tell us what to do and how it is, and we'll do it? And it doesn't work that way. It's you are your own navigator. You are the navigator of your life. If someone else starts navigating for you, then you're then following their energy instead of creating from your own energy. And with regard to our sources, now, maybe not all sources are like this. Maybe some sources say, follow us, we will save you, blah, 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 blah. That's not the way it works with our source. Our source doesn't say follow us. They lay down a track that you can feel the energy. And it's not an us to follow. It's just an energy to feel. And they can be with you through that energy. And suddenly, you're having more synchronicities. Little magical things are happening. And where did that come from? Well, some people figure out that it's because they're listening to these calls. So it is a good thing to do, to listen to these calls and incorporate the energy of the line. Now, the real call that we do where you can do that is our Sunday call, which is our planetary healing, grid healing call, where the emphasis is on bringing the energies in. On our Monday and Wednesday call, the energies are still here, but the emphasis is on more, I think it's called right brain, verbal, logical understanding of things. We ask logical questions, and they give kind of, I don't know if I would call it logical, but they give human answers in language that has meaning, and it comes through charity. You know, another reason I talk so much at the beginning of these calls, people are saying, where are they? Why isn't Terry channeling yet? Two reasons. One reason is that when I start talking, I kind of set the tone. I help pull the energies together. And the more the energies are pulled together, when Terry starts, the easier it is for her. The other reason is because she actually gets... It takes a toll on her to do this, believe it or not. And she gets really tired and doesn't get back, you know, get spaced out and doesn't come back to her human side. Sometimes she sleeps half the day after there's a channeling. And believe it or not, she has a job, goes to work. So if she gets too out of it, she can't function. Is that right, Terry?
Well, It does take a toll on me, and the job takes a toll on me because I work for three attorneys, plus I set the attorney calendar, make sure I'm covered on the civil side. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. And so it's like when you talk, it helps me set the tone.
Terry, stop. Terry, you're coming through entirely too loud. They're going to have to call you back on a separate line.
Maybe she came back to the microphone.
You want me to talk further away?
Yeah, you have to be a whole lot quieter.
Okay.
All right, I'm putting you back in. Going live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There we go. I guess you guys heard that. Terry was... Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Now you're too low on my line.
Okay, I'm here now.
That's better. That's just about right, okay?
Okay.
And somebody asked, how do you connect with them? Somebody sent me that email. How is it you get started to make the connection?
I feel a pressure around my crown chakra. The way it started, originally, there was like a pressure on the right side of my head, but now it's on my crown chakra as if they couple up to me. And then they're in my space, starting around my crown chakra, and then they give me the thought, and then I relay the thought, but then I get so that it's just them moving into the body and then speaking.
Now, when we do our grid healing on Sunday, and we do that thing where people go through their crown chakra, does that enhance that feeling? Is that the feeling you get?
Yes.
The same feeling.
It's a circular feeling around my crown chakra, and it goes down to above my ears, like a pressure.
Now, usually we talk to Ra'an, which is a conglomerate of the Elohim and the Ra groups. Isn't times when just the Ra group came through you? Is that a different feeling?
Yeah, that's a different feeling. It's a lower frequency, and it almost vibrates a different part of my body than the Elohim. The Elohim vibrates higher up in my head than a very high frequency, very delicate.
Mm-hmm. And where does the Ra group vibrate?
They vibrate more in the throat chakra and in the lower part of my head, in my chest. They're more in that area.
They're more like inside you.
Well, inside and outside. Oh.
You know, when we have these conversations about how the Elohim created the universe, one of the things that comes up for me is that I start to realize that I, since I'm part of them, that I can, to a little extent compared to them, but when I get out of the realities of the system, I feel like I'm creating realities here on this planet out of creation that weren't here. Like, this work was really hard to put out. It's hard to put out because it's hard to find structures that anchor it, that don't change the nature of it. It's really quite an accomplishment that we're actually doing this on BBS radio, because BBS radio is a structure, and we've learned to anchor it
through DBS. And it started out on DBS where I did a show for a couple of years with the founder of DBS called The Don and Lynn Show. And very occasionally we did a channeling on the show, but mostly Don and I just shot the breeze, and occasionally we interviewed somebody. And one time we interviewed Daphne, and this was a time when Daphne was kind of not taking it seriously. And when we interviewed her, in the middle of the interview, she said they wanted to say something, and we had a channeling right on the Don and Lynn Show, which is kind of a historic event because it's the first time we ever, I think, yeah, it's the first time we ever did a channeling over the Internet. And one of the things about channeling over, through a structure is that they told me they have to get the their vibrations through the structure. They have to get their vibrations through the Internet. Otherwise, the vibration of the Internet makes it so you can't feel the energy. And a phone line, too. The phone line is easier, they said, when we had a conversation about it. And it took probably a couple of months to really feel comfortable doing this on the Internet. And so in our conversations on how they created this realm, which is the universe, is a pretty big place. And I tried to nail what was the very first thing that happened. And this is hard to imagine, but one of the keys to existence is time. And time is a structure that didn't exist at the very beginning of creation because there was nothingness. And as soon as nothingness became something, there had to be some sense of time. Because as soon as you could look at, here's how I was, here's how I'm becoming, now there's some flow through something, which is time. And as the universe got created, there was different timelines. And I think that's what we'll talk about tonight, timelines of the universe. Because we're in a timeline of 3D, third dimension, this realm. And there's a correlation between timelines and density. What is density? Density is concentration of vibration. So in 3D, where we are, there's an intense concentration of vibration, which creates, should I say, the illusion of physical objects, the illusion of solidity, the illusion of persistence. I'm not sure I should use the word illusion because when you're here, it's so real. It certainly doesn't seem like an illusion. And when you hurt, it certainly doesn't seem like an illusion. If something is painful on your body or even in your emotions, it's quite real. You're going through it. So I think we'll do a little bit about the topic of different timelines, sacred geometry, and the concentration of vibrations in third density. And are you ready, Terry?
Yes.
Okay. So what we do to start this is we have a little invocation that helps bring all of our energies together. The more our energies are copacetic, interacting, the easier it is for flow. There's something called the law of one, which has to do with, at some level of timeline or energy, we combine. Our energies combine. Our bodies don't combine, but our energies combine. And when our energies combine, we start experiencing what some people call the field. Like right now, feel a connection. Feel the space around you. Some people call it zero point energy, where time is stopping. You're slowing down. And you're just in the moment. And as you get into the moment, as you get into the stopping of time, you're also in a place of very high creation, because when you put a intention or thought into that slowed up time, you're putting it at a level of creation above this realm, and then it downloads into this realm. So it's like reprogramming this realm, recreating this realm from a higher level. And when you start doing that, you start having magic happen in your life, because things happen that are nonlinear, like synchronicities, like somebody calls you, you get a job offer, some disease goes away. So part of what's going on this line, as we ask these questions, is we're establishing this zero-point energy field amongst us all. And when we do that, we're invoking other dimensions, and our sources are in those other dimensions, and they can talk to us through Terry. And they can also work with you. They can also work with your own fields and your own challenges, as some of the people that are on this line discovered when they've had an amazing healing of some sort. So if you're new, if you're listening for the first time, you may not feel this. Part of feeling it is trusting, and part of trusting is coming back and hearing the words and saying, sounds okay to me, I can be open. Because before you trust, you're in a state of analysis, observation, discernment. And I think that's a very important part of the process, because you don't want to let an energy into your space that's not positive. And to find out if something's positive, you can only do that by testing it, using your gut-level reaction. So Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and each of you on this line. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy that radiates from the center of our universe through the center of our galaxy, through all the stars, through all the planets, finally arriving on Earth, moving through our bodies, through the top of our heads, through our chakra system, through our feet, and into the Earth. And right now we invoke blending of all our energies, always maintaining our own sovereign individualities. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others to join with us and create a protected space that only the positive can enter, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have a source present?
Yes. Just on, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are pleased to be with each and every one of you tonight. Tonight is March 1st, 2010, and we are focusing in the area of Los Angeles, California, through the body of Jerry Brown. And we are also bypassing the radio system and the telephone lines and directly connecting with each and every individual upon this line. There is a ton of delay upon the media. And we then move through channel lines upon the media when we attempt to go into the media. Therefore, we bypass these lines that we have learned to do over the times that we have spoken on VBS radio, and we then connect directly up with each and every person who's listening to the call and each and every person who is on the telephone line. Do you have questions?
Do you have anything that's important to share with us all before I go through my question?
You are speaking of timelines, and in timelines, time when we are within your sphere seems to be going very slowly because there is a time delay within the Earth plane in that the conductivity and the connection between manifestations are more separate, and that takes some time. There's a disconnect almost between different species and even within the same species. The connection, the thought, the telepathy does not flow as readily as the individuals are grounding themselves very heavily to the matter, energy, space, and time of the third density, and they are as if leaning on it and depending upon it and identifying with it, and it gives a very slow gestation time to ideas and the formatting of the actions that take place within the third density. Within our density, things flow, and we are in the sixth density. We are focused there, and things are very much between individuals and between formats.
You're dropping out. Can you get a little closer?
There is very much connection. Telepathy is able to be transmitted easily from individual to individual within that density. That's what makes the group so possible, in that these connections are very strong and vibrant, yet each individual maintains its own identity. And
you're still a little
nature.
Weak. You're getting weaker.
Due to the nature of individuals in the sixth density, they are connected much more easily.
Well, we're talking about how creation got started. And I would assume originally there were not any densities. There was just shooting vibrations and nodes. How did the whole original beginning turn into such a complex array of timelines coming down to the what we experience here on Earth. Is that possible to explain?
You have a separation out into similar vibrations that then came together to create a layer, so much as if you had a multi-layered ice cream cone or a multi-layered glass with chemicals in it, which the chemical within each formulation took a separate layer, and the layers may be even different colors or different parts of the spectrum, different density materials then would attract together and stay within that frame. Of course, there was also the spinningness, which would spin the materials out to the edge, and then within the center of the galaxy, in the black hole, the density would be very, very dense, as it would have materials moving into it. So there was a separation within, a natural separation within the materials as they were moved about.
So was part of this happening spontaneously without direction? In other words, there was an initial kind of beginning, and then it started to evolve without a lot of intention on the Elohim's part, and kept evolving on its own through its own will and intention?
The answer would be yes. Now, there was no clear direction to go. Nothing had been formulated before. And individuals would learn by trial and error what they could create and what the effects would be. And they would learn over time patterns that they could recreate to bring about certain effects.
Well, when there were individuals that were taking part in this creation, I assume they were no longer creating it from outside the creation, as I understood the Elohim did, but now they're creating it from inside the creation. Is that accurate?
They were creating it from both the outside and the inside of the creation, as the individuals would move from a nothingness into manifestation and back into nothingness.
So in other words, an individual could move from being inside creation, move back to outside, move to nothingness, and then move back into creation again.
That's correct. We all have that capability. However, one tends, when they get into manifestation, to not want to lose it or to be scared if they go past the nothingness, that they will lose their ability to manifest, and that is not true.
So, originally, the beings could move from in-creation to out-creation. When was the first instance that started where they lost their memory and got stuck in creation and couldn't get out?
When one would lose their memory and couldn't get out, it was because they had lost their memory and they were focused upon the inside of the creation. And if one cannot imagine getting out of it or what it would be like, then one would stay within the creation, and it is a continuous thing that happens. As life is everywhere, and as manifestations are made, it contains life, and the life may just take hold and not know itself and have to learn about itself, and then it can learn over time what it can do and can't do, and it may take a very long time before it has the opportunity to run into circumstances where it would learn that there was something else outside of creation that it could move in and out of.
You know, there's a question here, which is, were there two kinds of life, life that evolved from within the creation and never had the experience from out of the creation, and life that was moving from outside of the creation into creation? Is that accurate? There were two different kinds of life?
We wouldn't call it two different kinds of life. However, we could distinguish it between a kind of a life that had a very strong creative out-of-the-box force, and a life, for instance, like a lower-level animal that was born that had awareness of falling and awareness of sleeping, but didn't question or wasn't aware of anything farther. It's sort of like where the life becomes manifest. That is what gives it its reach and its impetus. And if it is just born out of the murk and then begins to function there, it will envision its environment there. And if it was one of the original creators or one with its own, is its own individual spark, that it would simply start creating star systems, can delight in that, then this is the one that is more out of the box.
Can an animal that's in creation eventually evolve to a consciousness that is outside of creation?
It would have to go through many lessons and many many journeys. However, it could end up there.
Well, has it happened? Has that actually occurred? Have there animals that have ended up outside of creation that started in creation?
Give us a moment. Yes, it has happened. However, it is rare.
Mm-hmm. Now, a human has a different quality of self-evolution potential than an animal. Would it be fair to say that anyone listening to this call has the potential of going outside of creation, even while they're in a body, and then starting to create from outside and then come back inside and then go outside again? Is that a potential?
Yes, it is a potential.
In history, when somebody did that, are there people in history that we could recognize, say, for example, did Jesus do that?
Yes, Jesus did that.
Anyone else?
Joseph Mohammed. To some extent, Buddha and other masters.
Mm-hmm. So that's the quality of a master, having this ability to move even to where the universe stops, or where time stops, or where there's nothingness, and move back into somethingness, and keep shuttling back and forth.
It is a quality that one may use to refresh oneself and to reset oneself when one has attained patterns that one wishes to reset.
You know, Jesus used the phrase to be, I think Jesus said this, not just fundamentalist, the idea of being born again or reborn in Christ. When he said that, did he mean, is this what he meant, going back to the non-creation and then coming back into creation, it would be like a fresh start every time?
It would be that being that would apply here. However, another phrase was used in that moving into the Christ consciousness, which can also help to reset one's pattern.
Mm-hmm. Is that another way of saying a similar thing?
There are different things. One of them is to just move and to dismantle one's free constructs and then to reorganize and to re-enter. And the other one is to, with the help of the Christ consciousness, to help dissolve one's free constructs and then to help take on new and recreate new ones.
Mm-hmm. So what we're talking about when we do this is it means we're moving our consciousness through all those timelines and then back again.
It is not necessary to move through all these timelines and back again as one may go straight there and back.
Mm-hmm. Earlier you said something to the effect that dimensions were like layers on an ice cream cone. Does that mean they have fixed edges, or is there a continuum of dimensions constantly moving like on a slope as opposed to stair step?
It is not exactly a stair step. Then there is a layer in between the densities which is a translation area or layer that moves one quickly from one density to into the next.
So there is a kind of a gate or a bridge or a, not a bridge, a gate or a fence between certain of the dimensions where they're separated.
That's correct.
Not like a gradual slide from one to the other. Now, it's hard to imagine how timelines got started. It seems to me with the first level of awareness at the beginning of the first cause, as soon as there was awareness, there was time. And so, because if there was awareness, then there's a before and an after, and there's a continuity. You can't have awareness without time. Is that, am I saying that accurately?
In in order for there to be awareness, there has to be something to be aware of. There has to be two. And as you have two and back and forth between the two communications, then there is generated a space and a time in as one then waits for the second response or the thing that they are aware of, and time begins to be generated.
Mm-hmm. So when that first starts, there's some kind of communication between one entity and another entity. There's the beginning of time, but there's not really a timeline because there's only one time in that space.
That's correct. And if you have synchronicity between the beginnings, then you begin to get a timeline. But if you have separate individual transactions going on, then the timeline may be different in each transaction.
So when we're in this realm, try talking a little closer to the mic because it's getting a little fainter. We only have a minute or so left. When we're in this realm, every time, even though the clock moves at a certain speed, every time we have a different connection with another being, we're experiencing the creation of a different timeline within the nature of that connection. Could that be accurate?
Within the realm, within each realm, there is a consensus reality about the timelines, and although transactions may take different times, the times are generally consistent within the timeline.
I see. So there's a variation, but it's within the variation is limited within certain parameters, the top and the bottom.
Yes.
Okay. On that note, yes, last week we got so into this, I forgot and kept talking after the time ran out. So those of you that were here last week, I'm sorry that we kept continuing and the show just went off, so I'm watching the clock today. So would you like to say anything to us before we sign off?
We are very large in relationship to your sphere. And we send love light to your whole Illinois.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening. If you'd like to get daily messages and you're not subscribed to Message a Day, go to messageaday.net and fill out the form and you'll start getting our daily messages and invitations to our calls.